Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Google the words hearing voices. The first thing that pops up is actually an NPR series, but keep going down the list and you'll find that many of the results are related to schizophrenia or mental health. Hearing and seeing things are the topic of Dr. Oliver Sacks' new book called Hallucinations, and the physician, author, and professor of neurology at NYU joins me here in the Soundcheck studio. Oliver, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
Hallucinations, in general, we associate with people who are mentally ill, abusing drugs, things like that. But your point in the book seems to be that it affects a much broader range of society than that.
Yes, I think this used to be realized before the word became medicalized around 1840 or so. But there are all sorts of fairly benign hallucinations which have nothing to do with mental illness. Some visual, some auditory, some smelling things or feeling things.
Is that why in the Middle Ages, I mean, I think of someone like Hildegard von Bingen, the 12th century German abbess and writer and mystic and composer, who claimed to hear voices and even melodies and was kind of lauded for it, as opposed to, you know, told she was crazy.
She also saw geometric patterns, probably going with visual migraine, which she interpreted as the fortifications of the city of heaven.
But you think there were migraines associated with it?
Well, those were migraines. If she interpreted them as the city of heaven, that's fine too.
That's making lemonade out of lemons, I guess.
Right. I mean, questions of meaning and value are quite different from physiological origin.
Well, the specific chapter I wanted to talk to you about today is hearing things, which talks about how the act of hearing voices has become so closely associated with schizophrenia. You make pains to point out that all schizophrenia patients hear voices, but hearing voices doesn't automatically mean you have schizophrenia.
Not all schizophrenia patients, but many, especially in the acute stages. But a far greater number of people hear voices who have nothing the matter.
One good example of that is you actually start the chapter with the story of Dr. David Rosenhan, who was a Stanford psychologist who did this study on being sane in insane places. Dr. Rosenhan passed away earlier this year. This clip is from a documentary in which he recounts what happened when he and some colleagues were admitted to the hospital after telling doctors that they were hearing voices.
The moment we were admitted to the hospital, we abandoned our symptom and we behaved the way we usually behave. The question was, would anyone detect that we were sane? The answer was, no. No one ever did. Admitted with the diagnosis in the main of paranoid schizophrenia, we were discharged with the diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia in remission. Now, in remission doesn't mean quite the same thing as sane. The term we use to describe the experience is dehumanized.
That's Dr. David Rosenhan, whose study on being sane in insane places is part of Dr. Oliver Sacks' chapter on hearing voices in the new book Hallucinations. Oliver Sacks will be speaking at Barnes & Noble on East 17th Street on Wednesday, November 28th at 7 p.m. He's with us here on Soundcheck today. So the idea these days that if you're hearing voices, there's something wrong with you, where does that come from?
Well, it's certainly very common, both in the medical mind and the public mind. And as I say, I think it dates back to 1840-ish or so, when all forms of hallucination, visual or auditory, were supposedly related to mental illness.
Although in the late 19th century. You write about the kind of the psychic and spiritualist movement where hallucinations were actually sort of plumbed for further depths of meaning and things like that.
Well, there was a big census down in the 1890s, and nearly 20,000 people were asked to say whether they had auditory or visual hallucinations when they were awake and sane and healthy. And it turned out that something like 10 or 12% did. There have been recent studies like this, but there it was the underlying feeling was that voices and visions, especially voices, came from a spiritual world, whether it was gods or demons, or more likely spirits of the dead, spirits of ancestors, or people on the other side of the planet trying to communicate.
And was this feeling shared by the people having those hallucinations?
It was often shared.
Yeah. Soundcheck listeners, have you had the experience of hearing voices or music? We haven't gotten to that, but that's also an auditory hallucination that Oliver Sacks writes about. If you have, leave a comment on our website, soundcheck.org. Oliver, here's a message from Anna on Facebook who writes, "This happens to me, and I used to think I was going crazy. Usually it coincides with lack of sleep. Is there a connection?"
I think there's often a connection. With lack of sleep, you can get all sorts of hallucinations, and both visual and auditory. And I mean, one of the reasons I wrote this book is to say that you don't have to feel that craziness or dementia is ahead. There are much commoner reasons, like losing sleep.
People do hear music in their mind's ear. I mean, we get these earworms, these little fragments of songs annoyingly stuck in our heads. Many of us can play whole albums, favorite albums, front to back because we've heard them so much, but that's not an auditory hallucination.
No, it may be very detailed and vivid, but it's not mistaken for something outside. With an auditory hallucination, you immediately, you are certain that it's coming from outside, and you go and investigate. And only if there's no possibility of an outside source, you begin to wonder if it is somehow inside you, although going autonomously by itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've written about your own experience, both in this book and in the book Musicophilia. You talked at one point about having a musical hallucination. How long did it take you to realize that song by Mahler was in fact not being performed in the next room?
Oh, well, I realized that because I rather dislike Mahler, and I didn't have a CD of that, and it was my own apartment. The one occasion when I was deceived, which I think I mention in yet another book, was when I was in hospital with a leg injury. A good friend lent me a tape with a single thing on it, which was Mendelssohn's violin concerto. And I played that again and again and again. And one morning, I was woken by it. And I assumed that one of the nurses had turned on the machine as a nice way of waking me. And I turned over to turn the machine off, and it was off. But a fertile time for hallucinations is just before sleep and just after sleep.
We're speaking with Dr. Oliver Sacks. If you hear that Mendelssohn violin concerto again now, will it trigger kind of echoes of that hallucination?
No, it might trigger a little bit of an earworm, but nothing beyond that.
All right. Now, you were saying that there are specific times where perhaps the brain is more susceptible to this sort of thing. One of your patients, IVL, an 85-year-old woman, talks about having both oral, you know, in the sense of words and voices, mm-hmm. and musical hallucinations, and waking up constantly to a single song. In fact, it's this song, Goodnight Irene.
Irene, good night. Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dream.
There are, Oliver, worse things to wake up to.
Well, one might think this is really a very sweet thing to wake up to, but if it's happening all the while, you can come to abhor certain hallucinations.
How rare is it to have a single patient with both the hearing voices and hearing specific pieces of music?
It's relatively rare. When I wrote about hearing music in Musicophilia, I quoted dozens of patients, none of whom heard voices, mm-hmm. although they sometimes heard the lyrics of a song, but no speech as such, only singing. And schizophrenics, as it happens, rather rarely hear music.
Mm. When you do hear music, is it always a piece of music that you've heard before, or do some people have hallucinations of completely original music?
It's nearly always music you've heard before, and often music which was familiar and much played at one time. Mm. You may not necessarily like the music you hear.
Witness your experience with Mahler.
Yes, and one patient of mine who had hallucinations of Nazi marching songs, and he'd been growing up as a Jewish boy in Munich and was terrified by the Nazi youth. But there seem to be rather different mechanisms with hallucinating speech and hallucinating music.
Mm-hmm. So it is rare to have both, although, as you write, you've had both. I mean, we've talked a little bit about the music hallucinations. You also write about this dangerous trek down a mountain with a broken leg and hearing this voice, which you describe as the life voice, capital L.
Well, I think anyone in an extreme situation can hear a voice. Even Freud, he describes how once when he was in imminent danger, he heard a voice, he said, as if shouted in an ear, saying, "This is the end," and also saw those words pass in front of him on a sort of placard. Hmm. One of my patients was about to commit suicide after a broken-hearted, a soured love affair. She had the Seconal, the sleeping tablets in one hand and the alcohol in the other, was about to take them when she heard a voice saying, "Don't do that," and adding, "You won't always be feeling as you're feeling now." She didn't recognize the voice. It was a man. She said faintly, who was that? A figure of a man in 18th century dress sort of appeared faintly for a few seconds and disappeared. She says it was her guardian angel, but she knows this was some deep part of herself. Mm. And I think in extreme situations, hallucinations may come to one's aid.
And is the mechanism for a visual hallucination different from the mechanism for one of the auditory ones we've been talking about?
Well, visual hallucinations go with activation of the visual parts of the brain, the same parts that are involved in visual perception. This is why a hallucination is like a perception, except there's no external object. And similarly with the auditory parts of the brain or the olfactory parts.
So while the particular part of the brain may be different, it sounds like it's the same kind of process.
There's the same spontaneous activation. Which hasn't been triggered by any output. This may occur in more detail. For example, if people hallucinate faces, there's a particular area in the right hemisphere called the face area, the fusiform face area, and that is spiking. Mm-hmm. And if they hallucinate musical notation or print, a different area spikes on the left side of the brain.
And one of the things we've learned in recent years through the neuroscientist study of music is that music affects the brain pretty globally. So when you have a musical hallucination, what part of the brain is being activated?
Well, the whole complex network, which includes memory and emotion and coordination and frontal lobes and visual, the whole lot, which is activated when you listen to music. The visual hallucinations really tend to activate much smaller areas.
Mm-hmm. So what do we do about these hallucinations? I mean, it seems like for much of the 20th century, this would have been perceived as a problem and something to be fixed with medication if needed. But you're taking, it seems like, as I said earlier, a kind of a broader view of how these things happen and maybe how they, what we do about them.
Well, one has got to find out the cause, because although there are different sorts of hallucinations, there are dozens of different causes, and you might be able to do something about the cause. For example, some people with tinnitus or musical hallucinations have been taking 12 aspirin a day, and aspirin is a notorious causer of damage to the cochlea with tinnitus or musical hallucinations and even deafness. So you would inquire as a start whether someone is on aspirin. It is similar with quinine and quite a lot of the anti-malarials.
So you have to, a little bit of sleuthing to do before, yes, you decide what to do about the actual hallucination. Is tinnitus, which people call ringing in the ears but can be many different sounds, is tinnitus an auditory hallucination?
I suppose you could call it that. It's certainly produced in the brain, where everything is produced. It's quite common. It sometimes goes with deafness. I think it does with me. Originally, I had about 6 years ago a very high-pitched hiss, like this. It was in the winter, and I thought there was steam escaping from a pipe. But then I walked along Greenwich Avenue, and the hiss was with me, and then I realized that it must be in me. But I have to remind myself of that again and again. If it's particularly loud and I'm in an unusual place, I think, sure, I have tinnitus, but there's also something else going on.
We're speaking with Dr. Oliver Sacks and talking about his new book called Hallucinations, and specifically the chapter called Hearing Things on musical auditory hallucinations. He will be speaking at Barnes & Noble on East 17th Street on Wednesday, November 28th at 7 p.m. Speaking of tinnitus, here's an interesting public service announcement. Listen to this from the American Tinnitus Association.
Can you hear that?
Can you hear it?
Now, pay close attention.
Can you hear this sound?
I hear it.
I hear it.
Me too.
I hear it all the time.
Everywhere I go, it doesn't go away. You can't cover your ears.
You cannot hide from it.
In the U.S., there are over 50 million people who suffer from tinnitus.
A lot of them from noise-induced trauma.
What is tinnitus?
It is a ringing in your ears
that sometimes will not
stop.
So that's from the American Tinnitus Association, although the people in the PSA are saying tinnitus.
It may be an English-American thing. I'm not sure.
Aside from tinnitus, ringing in the ears, which, as you've said, is common, how common is it for people to have musical hallucinations or auditory, hearing voices?
With musical hallucinations, probably in the general population, not more than 1% or so, but in a population of people with impaired hearing, people who are losing their hearing, it may be up at 15 or 20%. Losing your vision predisposes you to visual hallucinations, losing hearing to auditory, losing your sense of smell to smell hallucinations. One might say losing a leg, losing a limb to limb hallucinations.
The phantom limb syndrome. So as we have you know, the first generations of humans who've grown up in loud, urban, mechanical environments, aging and losing their hearing, are we looking at a population that will gradually have more of this?
They'll certainly have more tinnitus and more deafness, and I suspect more auditory hallucinations of one sort and another.
Dr. Oliver Sacks with us on Soundcheck today. His latest book is called Hallucinations. He's also the author of such books as The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat and Musicophilia. And Oliver, great pleasure to have you back with us on Soundcheck today. Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.